And welcome back to a new episode of Be a Fan Podcast. We are live once more. We've taken a week off. This, as we're headed into the playoffs, it's sometimes a little bit tricky to find news. So I figured, why not just wait 2 weeks? We'll get to see some trends that's happening and talk a little bit about where we go from here. But thank you all for joining us. We are glad you're here. We are excited. We are a fan of the LCS, as you know, may still be called LCS. I don't know. I don't even know. But joining me is, of course, my co-host, Andrea. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah.
Awesome to hear. We went from okay to great each time. So it's trending in a good direction. It's trending in a good direction. So, you know, the LCS is really getting close to wrapping up. We have about, what, is this the final weeks?
No.
Because we're still
we
in the lower
bracket. We need to decide the three people that will go. Yeah.
But it is kind of locked in. Two of the teams are already known who will be headed to Worlds.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about how one of them get there. But Team Liquid naturally locked in their spot last week, in the last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
When they beat 100 Thieves?
Yes.
I think, yes.
Indeed.
Yes.
They gave them
so
a good
long ago.
Smacking.
But what was kind of mildly surprising for me is like this wasn't a clear path for all the other teams. For Team Liquid, you know, I didn't see that they were struggling against anyone per se, but all the other teams now were coming together to kind of watch like how will this will round out, who will take the third spot. In my prediction, I thought C9 would have taken it by now, but they were not one of the teams.
Yeah, kind of dropped the ball a bit.
It kind of is an understatement of how big of an expectation we had for this team.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about, like, did they do enough to have fixed their issues in spring? Because, hint, hint, I don't think so. Or the issues are just showing up right now because they had a strong regular season summer. So let's just go through this, the more recent events of how it happened. We had a sort of like a super week because the playoffs started on Friday. It's then, you know, we had Saturday and Sunday to round out. And the game that started us all off was Dignitas versus NRG.
Oh, God.
We'll want to revisit that. NRG actually pushed FlyQuest a little bit, but they couldn't, get the win. So naturally, they fall into the loser's bracket. And where Dig was waiting for them. Now, this game, this series was probably the most exciting series of the whole weekend.
I guess in a way, yeah. In some way, it was exciting, I guess. I mean, you listened to Sven's interview afterward, right? This was so low elo.
It makes me worry. Dig season. Is it dig season time?
It's not looking like dig season is happening, guys.
Remember when we came into the playoffs, what our sentiment was for NRG? I was like, I didn't think that they would deserve a playoff spot.
I will think they will lose harder. So that's why that series was like a little bit like Dignitas. It's really not good enough to just end this series 3-0. I don't understand. And yeah, so I don't know if RG was better than we thought or if Dignitas is just worse than everyone ever could possibly imagine. I'm gonna say the second one, to be honest.
Yeah, the latter. The latter feels fair because this was, if you are a fan of good League of Legends, this was not serious. It was fun.
It was definitely like, what is going on a lot of the time. And it was like a good, entertaining series. Definitely, because we did not get that much entertainment. For the rest of the weekend, yeah, I think. Yeah. But
for the sole reason that either team could have advanced, that was what made it entertaining. Right? NRG actually had a chance because this was a series that went the full five games. We had silver scrapes. And looking over the scoreboard, like you know, Date Natas stomped the first game, for me, I was like, okay, that's, you know, this is going to end. It's going to be a 3-0, 3-1, doesn't matter. And INRG came back, mega stomped Dignitas.
Yes, they did that, yeah.
It was like, are we sure that Licorice, Spica, Jensen, and Sven was on that team? Because there was nothing they could have done that whole game, and that ended in 25 minutes. Third game was a fiesta.
Yeah.
I just don't know what was going on. It went on for 40 minutes. You know, either team could have won. Then game four came around, and NRG found, you know, some energy, right? Found some energy. It was a clear victory for them. And then came game five, where it was, again, it was close. Energy had the chance to win this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Every chance. They were leading in gold at some point. They lead in kills. Although gold, I'm wondering like if gold advantage even means anything anymore. And I'll talk about that in a later series. But essentially, Dignitas pulled out a victory. And that's kind of the best way to describe it. They pulled out a victory against NRG. So this is the end for you know, for your boys. Not so much for the team brand, but your boys.
I mean, it was pretty sad seeing Contracts cry and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. like it's really rough, especially because like some of these players, like you expect better from them. Especially, I think Palafox. Everyone was pretty disappointed in him because mm-hmm. he was like kind of like riding on a lot of like last year. He was like very very good. Like he was the top two mid laner in the region, and then he went to Worlds and like they dismantled G2 too. So it's like, everyone expects Palafox to come back and like be at the top of the league, and he just gets worse and worse and worse progressively. It's like he started really bad and then he ended up probably on the bottom of the league. So it's like kind of a really rough progression that it's like, you know, we wanted it to be the year of the NA mids, and then mm-hmm. it kind of did not happen. Like APA took everyone's powers. Like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it's just, it's rough.
And I feel for Contracts, really, it seems like he really did enjoy this team, despite all the rumblings I hear about how they are not gelling, how there's like a lack of chemistry or maybe a lot of infighting. It seems he genuinely loved the team.
I mean, they were together for a really long time. And I say where, because everyone's expecting them to like disband and stuff. Obviously, these are not the result. Like, what was it? Like, barely making playoffs twice.
Mm-hmm.
The first time they got completely smacked by 100 Thieves in playoffs, so it's like, yeah, in their first round. And this is also, no, this isn't the first round, but like it's kind of like the same way they go out of playoffs without winning a series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like no one expects them to like stay together.
Yeah,
and there's even conversations about like, okay, who do we keep here?
Mm.
If we keep anyone, like,
is the org even gonna be here?
That is another conversation, yeah.
There's speculation. I guess we can talk about this right now because this is the time we'll talk about NRG. There was a post, I guess, on Monday or Tuesday that mm-hmm. they got rid of their private chef. And from there was like a lot of rumblings about like, oh, is NRG prepping its exit?
Right, because they have been, like, ever since they got into the league, they have basically been cutting out people mm-hmm. little by little by little. So it's like, I think it's pretty natural. And especially since they didn't seem very interested during the offseason in changing your team. Like, so I understand keeping your championship team because that's the team that won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, during the summer, like, mission, like, there was literally no attempt at all to do anything different after the results. So that feels a little bit sus to me. It's like they are not even trying. So, like, what's going on over there?
Yeah. We've made mentions, like, there were times when they were like, oh, is this a turnaround for them? Nope. The following week, they just crash and burn. It just never came together for whatever reason. And the certainty is that these five are not going to stay together, mm-hmm. right?
That's what people are feeling, right?
We're 99% confident because how do you justify keeping them for another season with this kind of result? Nothing in spring or summer tells you that this is something to be excited about, and which is unfortunate, but that's also the reality. If you would get to speculate, if let's say NRG stays in the LCS, you know, the 100 Thieves or Dignitas or Immortals are all bowing out. Who would you like to build around for NRG?
I mean, I still think Contrax is a really good player. Mm-hmm. I don't know what anyone else though. Like, I honestly don't know, because if you don't change, like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm between, really, yeah, I'm between FBI, which I think is a solid player, but if you can find a better one, go for it. But that's kind of about where it ends for me. Palafox is just inconsistent at best.
This is about what you're expecting from him. It's like, it's like, do you really expect him to go back? Like, it's just, we have been waiting too long, you know? He's mm-hmm. not, he doesn't seem like it's going to happen, so.
And same could be kind of said for Dokla. He had his moments. He was in the LCS. He dropped out. He came back with great story, I think, that just kind of shows, like,
you right.
know, your career is not over just because you did drop down to tier two. But without the progression, all right, it's hard to justify keeping him, even if it's on different LCS team. I mean, we have Surdy in the waiting.
And there's very little LCS teams to put people in. It's like, mm-hmm. there's also that to consider, you know, like, there's going to be, two less teams?
Mm-hmm.
There's no space.
Right.
Even if you want to keep them, even if mm-hmm. you want to keep them, like, there will be other players that will be dropping out of the league because there won't be a space for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we kind of bid adieu to NRG, we do hope some of these talents are able to find a home for the 2025 season. You and I align on that. Contracts is probably the top of the list of.
I mean, if not here, someone should pick him up for sure. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure there's a team that could use him.
Mm.
Not sure which, but like, not sure which teams are going to stay. So it's like,
true.
Can't be certain, like, what's going to happen there.
Yes. So Dig will proceed to the next phase, and they're waiting for them is their next opponent, which unfortunately got destroyed by Team Liquid. There was not a single game in that series. Team Liquid 3-0 100 Thieves. There was not a single game where I said 100 Thieves had a chance.
No, they didn't. And it was kind of, I actually really like that series. I think for Team Liquid, it's very important that they maintain this sort of level.
Mm.
And that they show that they are not struggling versus anyone, mm-hmm. you know? Especially not 100 Thieves. Like, maybe we will see when they face, I don't know, FlyQuest.
FlyQuest?
Probably, because I don't think C9 is going to make them struggle either. So, like, we will see how they show up there, because it's just, I think it's very important to see that they're taking it seriously and that they are not, like, slacking around. And sure, like, sometimes in-game, they do certain things and they do play silly, but it's really not like they go a whole game and mm-hmm. they are completely like joking. No, like, they go back and they finish the game, you know, even if they do something silly.
You know, that's a great point too, because unlike C9 in the past, right, they can have their happy games or they're trying something out. Team Liquid is taking this really seriously. They're mm-hmm. not looking down on anyone.
No, exactly. That's what I want to see. I want to see them do what they did this weekend, like, show up, all business. I mean, Impact almost got a pentakill on Ornn. Like,
right.
That's what we want to see.
Oh my gosh. That Ornn game was a thing of beauty. If any one of you are aspiring, you know, top laner, Impact is who you need to kind of model your game after.
That was a realistic game, and I'm really mad at APF for stealing up, and
mm-hmm.
you should get banned. that was so mean.
Just bench him. They robbed it. I wonder how he feels after being robbed of the penta.
Yeah, we got robbed of an Ornn pentakill. Like, that doesn't happen every day. Like, please. It would have been glorious.
Sad. And his own teammates' betrayal. It's a betrayal. Deep betrayal. But I'm glad they're not, like, I mean, we say this in jest. Maybe it has an effect, but it didn't seem to show that at all. And they continued, like, crushing 100 Thieves.
Yeah. It was pretty, like, no, it felt good. Like, when a team is good like that,
mm-hmm.
it's just, they're fun to watch. Because, see, that's the thing about, okay, so let's talk about the series. The thing about the FlyQuest and C9 series is that they were kind of, like, like, Cena was not doing anything during the first half of the game, and they mm-hmm. were just, and Flyquist were kind of just waiting for Cena to mess up, and that's how they won the games.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a lot of waiting around during those games. Like, they were not particularly entertaining to watch. But Teal absolutely, like, 10 minutes, they already won the game.
Yep.
They already 10K ahead. They already have done all of these things. Mm-hmm. And you're like, they are pretty much, like, a team that doesn't sit around and wait for other people to make mistakes. They take the game in their hands and they do stuff. And it's entertaining games to watch. So, like, even if it was a stomp, it was so much more, that was so much, much of a better watch than the next series. That the next series was kind of, like, pathetic, to be honest. Like, the first series was entertaining in the sense that it was a complete fiesta. The second series was entertaining in the sense that TL are really, really so good to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, they are really good League of Legends to watch. Mm-hmm. And the third series was not entertaining because it was just 20 minutes of nothing. And then Cena runs it down and then Flyquist wins.
You can see it was absolute garbage performance.
It was kind of really disappointing to watch Cena and just fall flat. Like, they were building up stuff. At first they were building up, like, and then they will, like, slip down, and then, oh, I guess we lost now.
It is, like, oh my gosh, and I have to talk about this, because I think they should have been 3-0'd. Like, the first game, they were losing.
Oh, right, the first game, yeah.
They were losing up to a point, and FlyQuest somehow found a way to throw that game. Notably, yeah, C9 was leading for a good part. They were leading gold. And again, this is why I say in the LCS, maybe gold leads just don't mean anything, because they did not feel like they were ahead in anything in their power spikes, in their itemization, because FlyQuest was able to come back at any point, even though C9 had a lead. But they threw it, and that's how C9 got their first win. But that issue maintained through the rest of the game. And FlyQuest won 3-1. And again, in my opinion, it should have been a 3-0. Like you mentioned, FlyQuest didn't do anything special. They just waited for C9 to trip over themselves, and which they successfully did every single game.
It was actually really funny that every single game, there it is. Now they lost. Nice.
It's so upsetting with this collection of talents. And okay, let me pose this to you, because we said, like, they're bringing these changes. They replaced Fudge, they replaced Mythy, right? They were supposed to fix that issue. And it looked like they were heading in the right direction during the summer regular split.
But I mean, then we come to this. Got caught on guard, to be honest. I think their prep looked really kind of shaky.
Yeah.
But still, some of the stuff in game was also like, I mean, what are you doing?
So my question is, like, is this just them going back to the issues, or, like, regressing back to the issue, or is this a new issue that's coming up?
No, I think it's just, maybe, I think it's the same thing they have always had, no?
They cannot, like, play the mid game, they don't have a...
Jojo Pyun gets bored.
Die. Jojo Pyun gets bored, that's very accurate.
He just randomly walks into bushes and gets chunked and makes his team suicide for him, you know? Standard Jojo Pyun.
In a lot of sense, he was really good in lane, and that's kind of expected against quad, but he lost. He looks lost.
He looked a little bit lost, yeah. I gotta say, he was a little bit like...
And the other one, I think Blabber took accountability on social media. He says, like, he played like shit for that day. I think that's those are his words. But I think that's fair to own up to, because he did not make a difference.
I don't think Blabber was like that, but I think generally, like, I don't know what the point was. Like, we have Thanatos in a tank, and, like, they have just, I don't know. I don't know what the idea was. Like, they keep drafting Kirky, and Jojo Pyun does nothing on Kirky. So it's like, can we do something else? And they just... Then FlyQuest brings out the Ivern, and it's like, oh, Ivern is pretty strong. I guess we don't have any counter to it. I don't know. They weren't... Actually, I don't remember if Spire played Ivern during the regular season. He maybe played it once, but, like, I don't think that's something I remember him playing a lot. So maybe that they were thinking that he cooldowned or something, but I don't know. It was just so weird.
Let me see if For match history, he played Ivern once during the summer.
Yeah. So it's he's not exactly an Ivern player, you know.
Or maybe twice. But yes, it's very little. But yeah, C9 couldn't do anything. The whole top lane matchup was Cassante versus Renekton. Every single
game. Yes, every single game. So it's like, I mean, do you guys want your top laner to, you know, get an advantage or what? It's like, also, like, Thanatos was playing kind of really well, too. But, like, there's only so much you can do. And, yeah, I don't know.
It's really also sad to see Vulcan do very, like, the last game on his signature pick, the Leona. He went 0-5-0 on that game. I don't know. This just does not scream any confidence in me. And you know what? If LCS history bears true, this will probably be the only team that's like relevant in Worlds. But they have to get to Worlds first. I don't know. It does not inspire any confidence in me. And I think, you know, in it may be facetious to say, but I do think the third spot is not as guaranteed to be C9 as originally thought.
I mean, I don't know about that one.
I know, we just talked crap about 100 Thieves and Dignitas, but
I think 100 Thieves got clearly just completely dismantled by Teal. And sure, C9 cannot do that. I don't think they can do that, but they can definitely win the series. Like, it cannot be that hard. 100 Thieves have been looking a lot better, yeah, but like, a lot better. They still got 20-minute game by TL every single time, so it's like, how much better? I am not though. They still have to be Dignitas, by the way,
right? And again, if we went back to the Dignitas NRG series, I don't think Dignitas is that good either, but you know,
no, I don't think they are gonna win that at all. Yeah,
but will C9 trip over themselves enough? I don't know, maybe that'll be entertaining. But right now, today, what do you think that C9 is the third seed going to Worlds? Then
I think they will be the okay. third seed, yes.
So third guaranteed, a chance. They still have a chance for second seed, right?
Yes, they will have to rematch either FlyQuest or FlyQuest. TL.
Mm-hmm.
Or either rematch FlyQuest or in case TL loses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, they need to make finals. Yeah, C9 will need to make finals to get the second seed. Mm-hmm. That is the only one.
Anyone needs to make finals to make second seed. That's how it works.
Well, I guess T1 can't fall out of the top two. I mean, TL, not T1. T1 has
TL
its own
issues. TL can't fall out of the top two. They can lose in the semifinals and not go to finals.
Mm.
They still need to beat FlyQuest, like, to go to finals.
Gotcha. So that's what we have upcoming this week to watch, like, Dignitas, 100 Thieves, C9, and then whoever between Team Liquid and FlyQuest will get like fall into the double elimination, right? Whoever falls there. Prediction, gonna say, you know, C9 gets through the lower brackets and Team Liquid gets the first
Yeah, I'm gonna assume Team Liquid is gonna win no matter what. At this point, I think, yeah, even after seeing FlyQuest, I mean, after I saw FlyQuest this weekend, I just think, sure, they won, but like, I don't think they did really anything that tells me that they are going to take the game in their own hands and BTL with it, like.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that part. Nothing has shown me that, you know, anyone is challenging TL in any aspect. And that's how good they are. Well, do a little bit of discussion of the NACL. I think there was a fun story that's going on. Blue Otter, a team that I think most people didn't give a chance, just, you know, are making a run right now.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
They beat our Disguise, and they're gonna have
unfortunately.
Disguise has been quite disappointing.
Disguise had to give up Tomo, so that's kind of really sad for them.
Yeah.
They had to give up Tomo because 100 Thieves needed a bot laner, so it's really unfortunate. It wasn't even during the mid-season, you know, it was very recent. They were doing pretty well, and then they had to give up.
Right. It was when Meech had to step down.
Yeah.
Was that, like, closer to the end of the regular split?
Yeah, it was very close to the end. I mean, Tomo has played, like 5 games, I don't know. If he played more than 5 games in regular season, I will be really surprised, because five series at least. I think he played, like, 3 series.
Oof.
I don't remember how many.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
So it's like, yeah, it's really unfortunate for these guys.
Indeed, indeed. But it makes for a great story now. Blue Otter, that was supposed to be counted out, is now having a lot of momentum coming in.
Yeah, they do have that. So that's pretty good for them.
They will still need to beat Supernova and Fly Challenger.
Unfortunately, yes. There's a lot of really strong teams. So,
the other fun story is Dragon Steel against Fear Starforge. They are in the winners, like the upper bracket. And their social media team is having some fun. I think they made a bet online. So NACL is really making it fun to follow this year. And all these things, I hope they continue to have that momentum going into next year. Anything you like to share about the NACL?
Not particularly, no.
All right. Then let's talk about the official results of All Pros. They've released the results for Most Improved Player and Rookie of the Year just today. So based on, and I have your Discord's results right next to the actual results, they were pretty spot on. There were a couple of, like, you know, names that are not exactly first team or second team, but, you know, they're kind of pretty spot on. Impact Blabber, APA, Yawn, and Core JJ were the first team. The only difference between your Discord's vote and official voting was at support. I still feel surprised that Blabber got first team. And, you know, Umty being not even in the second team, tiny bit surprising to me. Any surprises for you?
Pull out the ballot because I want to check some. Mm-hmm. How the way they call voters? I don't remember what I called the file. Voter list. Yes, it's the voter list. Okay, so let's see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like people were into Killing Blower first players too. It wasn't just the media. I'm really surprised actually. Umty got a lot of votes from the players too for first team. Which the media didn't seem to like care about. Like they were there Inspire of Blower. Umty gets a little bit put down because he, you know, the way he plays the game is mostly for the team. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the game doesn't go around him. And it's kind of like his job is kind of like one of the easiest in the league because he has the best solo laners in the league, which is Impact and APA. Yeah, he has the best solo laners in the league. Uh-huh. And he has one of the best, if not the best, bot lane in the league. So it's like, what does he have to do? Like he just has to be there, you know. He just has to show up to the games. Like yes. in the case of someone like Blaberfrog, he is the shot caller of C9, right? So like mm-hmm. he is the person that makes the moves. Same for Inspired, he is the person that calls the things. He's the person that's like, so like when in a team when you have Impact and Core JJ, mm-hmm. you don't really need to do much. Because they are gonna do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. So it's like, I think people also put that against him. He's also playing mostly a supportive game style. So it's like it's that. Meanwhile, Inspired is more of a like the farming jungler, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gets to do a lot more fun stuff, I guess. And Blabber, you know, he's still the goat Fennec, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I think Umty deserves a little bit more respect, but I do agree that his job is way easier than the other two's. Like, I do agree that C9 has been a little bit shaky. Like, JoJo has not been performing very well. So it's like, you have to do a lot of work for him. For example, I did think Vulcan deserved a lot of credit. A lot of the time, Vulcan is hovering mid to bail out JoJo from situations that could end up really, really bad for him. That's one of the reasons why I think he did pretty well. Like, he started doing so much better this play. Vulcan.
That's where the confusion comes in, right? Like you said, Umty falling down be the reason for having strong solo laners. I feel the same for Core JJ. Like, I know he's the sort of like the shot caller, the leader of the team.
Look at the things Core JJ does on the map. Look at the things, the way he moves. Look at the things that, like, Core JJ has a lot of impact for Team Liquid. So it's like, yes, he has very good carries, but he also does a lot for that team. Like, if anything, Core JJ is like Team Liquid. Core JJ is basically Team Liquid. So it's like, you know who's in charge. And you know who's, like, going, like, you know, the reason why TL is the best lane swap team in the league, it's probably because Impact and CoreJ are in it, you know? They are some of the smartest, most experienced players in the league. So it's like, yes, you need to have good carries. You need to have APA and Yon, but they are the brawn. You also need to have brains.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But, and CoreJ has been playing just really good in general. And in lane two, I mean, Yon and Core are really strong laners right now. So it's like, they are really just doing everything right now. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to not praise them, you know? And that's why Core gets so much respect right now. Like, it's not just that the things he does, it's just that he's also showing up in lane. He's showing up on everything. And he plays everything. Mm-hmm. This is something that I heard. I watched Solo. You remember Solo, the top laner? He's been doing content, and he did his own interview. I mean, he did his own video about how he vote Pro View if he had a ballot. So he was saying, like, the reason why he puts CoreJ above Vulcan is because CoreJ can play anything. Like, he has a more expansive, effective champion pool, and C9 does not win if Vulcan is on an enchanter.
Yes, that is correct. Okay. You convinced me. I think at the end of the day, though, it really is just between CoreJ and Vulcan, the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I think they were two of the best. And they were very impactful, too. And that's the thing. I think Vulcan was very impactful to C9's success. I think he was really doing a lot for them, too. So it's like, it's kind of really hard to say. I think CoreJ has had a really great split. Like, he's really, really on his true game. Like, right now, he's really the CoreJ that we know and love. Vulcan has also had, had a really, really good split, so it's like kind of really hard. Other than that, yeah, the other roles are kind of like, yeah.
Let's take this moment to also talk about something that I overheard. I know I said I didn't listen to a lot of content, but now I remember I've been like going through the Hotline League, and someone actually brought up the idea that the Hall of Legends next in consideration should either be Impact or CoreJ. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. They have very decorated career. And I'm sure Uzii is probably going to be next in, but Impact and CoreJ being considered for the Hall of Legends, we actually might get some LCS talent up there. What are your thoughts? Do you think they are Impact or CoreJ should be in strong consideration?
Kind of tough to think about. I mean, yeah, I guess just in longevity alone and in like ascending, because they have been winning and winning and winning and winning for so long, like in the top of the league for so long, and like even internationally they have also, like, they in Korea they were also in the top for a good time. So it's like, well, I guess no, Core was not in Korea for a long time actually, but let's just pretend that he was.
I'm just thinking there's a very good conversation maybe like 5-6 years down the line, maybe, because
maybe, yeah, depends. Yeah,
I guess you know, knowing other names like Matt Life, or
you're definitely gonna go to a lot of people before you get to an American player for sure. But yeah,
true. But it's exciting that we at least have consideration from the LCS. I mean, everyone can name someone from the LPL or in the LEC, but they oftentimes people don't think that the LCS had a shot at the Hall of Legends. So we shall see. All right, second team, the official voting is Thanatos, Inspired, Jojopyeon, Berserker, Vulcan. The male court had Thanatos, Inspired, Quat, Berserker, CoreJ.
Yeah, I mean, Jojopyeon has had a very weird split now.
Just regular split discussion. I don't know if Quat is over Jojopyeon. Mind you.
I mean, it depends, you know. I feel like Jojopyeon is that type of player that he genuinely will lose his team game sometimes.
Yes, that is accurate.
So it's like kind of like depends on what do you think about that, or how do you view that, because some people find that to be like an okay trade, you know, you give away some, you know, but like some people don't. So it really depends on what you value in a player, because with Quad you're not getting that, you know, you're getting someone who's stable and like always, you always know what you're gonna get.
Which is very interesting, because that's what the same sentiment I feel about Jensen. Except Quad has a little bit
Jensen
more hands.
Did not perform at all this week. So.
Yeah. It just might be like the downward trend for Jensen at this point. Yeah, he hasn't shown like a highlight. Well, he showed
he was last split. He was in spring, yes.
Spring split, but then playoff comes around. He's gone, missing. Looked terrible at MSI.
I mean, yeah, but most of Flag was also like kind of dropped the ball really hard in playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just remarkable then, you know, for Quad to just slide right in and, you know, now this team is
How long has he been playing? Like, I don't think it's that remarkable. Like, he's a player that we're going to ask in the LCK for a couple years, no? Like,
And he was a great, everyone was talking him up when he was playing in the NACL, right? I don't know. It just reminds me when I know that his old handle was Solka and I had no good memory of him in the LCK. Zero. Maybe it's not fair to him because DRX was really bad back then.
Sometimes you just need a good environment, yeah.
And he was also played a split with Nongshim, and Nongshim was not a good team. Who knows? Could be following the same footsteps as Umpty, you know? You have mm-hmm. moderate success and no success in the LCK, and you come over and make yourself. We'll see. We'll see if FlyQuest will keep him around. The third team was fairly dominated by FlyQuest players. Officially, it was Bwipo, Umpty, Quad, Masu, Busio for third team. And the Mayo Court has voted Bwipo, Umpty, Jojo, Masu, Busio. So just off by one name, the mm-hmm. mid lane. Yeah, I think well-deserved. Again, Busio is in by the sheer default that, you know,
the fact really that he's in a winning team and yes. there's no one else to put there, yeah.
There's absolutely
I do think that's
no
what happened there because it's like kind of really hard. The other teams are just not good enough to compete with anyone else. It's like, who do you really put here? I don't think Busio is a bad player, but I also don't think he's exceptionally. Like, the gap between him and Core and Balkan is just huge, no?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah. What I do like about Busio is his volatility. Because when he lands those hooks with his he's pretty fun. He's really good. But he takes so much damn
sometimes,
risk.
Sometimes it's a little bit, yeah.
Remarkably, that didn't hurt Masu at all, even when Busio goes off script. I think Masu
had a very good split, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And moving on then to the revealed awards. Most improved is APA, as are people that voted on the Twitter sphere. APA, most improved. And I think that is a good call.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie of the split, it wasn't much of a race. You could throw other
names
out there.
Yeah, there was very little to discuss there. Because we don't have enough rookies. It's like, yeah, and those rookies, yeah. Unfortunately, for a sniper to fall down the ladder, because
yeah.
he was really, really gunning for that one. But unfortunately, in summer, it was not it.
Yeah. It was getting close up there by spring, right? Because sniper.
Yeah, in spring, he was absolutely gunning for that award. But
now, let's take a moment then, maybe just to kind of reflect on that. Like, I didn't watch as much NACL as you and in his time because Sniper is not a unknown name, even for those who don't follow the NACL. Did you think he played to the level that is expected?
He only played one split. He only played half a year. He did not play mm-hmm. like more than that.
Right.
So we did not get to see him a lot.
Mm. But he was, okay, did he live up to the hype was basically my question.
It was his first playing professional game at all. He did not play amateur. He did not play anything else.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I can tell you that, no, he did. He wasn't playing that well, but, like, it's also, like, a little bit unfair. It's like calling the first European split bad. It's, like, it's a little bit unfair because he's literally the first time this kid is touching competitive, like, gaming. So, it's, like, and people were, like, saying that European was overhyped and stuff, like, and then the next bit, he's, like, completely running over everyone else. So, like, you know, it's about, you know, you gotta give it time.
Mm-hmm. I suppose. Well, again, hoping. Well, Sniper makes a good case to hang around for another.
No, of course.
Right.
I mean, he's very young. Mm-hmm. He's very new. Mm-hmm. And he has shown that he has the ability.
Mm-hmm. So a team should pick him up if 100 Thieves decide to belly up, like, you know, exit. If that's a big if, I haven't heard anything officially. But if it comes, okay, this could be a very fantastic question. I might post this on Twitter. If push comes to shove, there's only one top lane spot left. do you give that to Sniper or Surdy?
I mean, I don't know, bro. I think Sniper has proved in the LCS that he can hang out. As Surdy has not played in the LCS. Mm-hmm. You have not seen him play in the LCS. You don't know. It's an unknown.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, I hear there's a slight pause, even though we're going to end up like agreeing that Sniper should continue.
It's just, the issue with this is that it shouldn't be a question. It's like, we shouldn't be having to have this conversation because there should have been enough space. During the last few years to put more people in. Mm-hmm. And we haven't. And now we're in the discussion and we're in and we're like, well, I guess there's not much space for any of you.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the whole ecosystem failed. For the path to pros, right? And we lost a good amount of players because of this. For sure, was it Copy? Chime is likely not going to pursue anymore.
No, Chime is not, because he's like,
or something. But yeah, I don't want to see this happening to Surdy. But again, there's not a lot of opportunities. It's sad. I didn't want it to be a sad, sad kind of way to kind of close out this discussion. But I'll let our listeners kind of chime in too. What do you think? If you were to build your team or like, you know, and you only have a choice between Surdy or Sniper, which way do you lean and can you make a case for either? In our last segment, we want to have a highlight for a super fan that's been very well known. She's also been a guest on our previous pod, Fluffy JWI2, Elaine. She's back and she's doing her art again. Can you tell me a little bit more about Fluffy or Elaine?
Oh, well, Elaine has been hanging around the LCS a little bit and she has come back and posting more art. She just recently posted this drawing of inspired meowing in a bush. So very important, very, very important content to be making. She also made a really cool video of Jojopyeon's one stream, because you know how Jojopyeon has to be forced to stream. So he had a sponsor stream a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a highlight video of that. In case you missed it, you can go and watch. Look for that one. And yeah, she's pretty cool. Pretty great.
This is a mark of an amazing super fan. They continue to support, you know, the scene in her own way. And I got the stickers for the old EG team.
Oh my god.
It's so awesome. And maybe I'll make that into a raffle, kind of like for support or listeners. If you all like a contest, let me know. Hit me up. Hit us up on Twitter or, you know, anywhere else you can find us. I'll be lurking around in the Discord. The Oracle Discord, the LCS Discord. That's where you kind of find me during this whole time as we celebrate at the last leg of the LCS before Worlds starts. What about for you, Andrea? What do you have upcoming? What do you looking forward to?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's amazing. That's awesome. Well, folks, thank you for joining us and make sure to tune in. Tell people about this podcast. Come on the pod. I mean, it's an open invitation to any fans.
Anyone can come. Just text us or something.
We're still trying to get the fan of the year, voted fan of the year 9 dots on. I'm sure people are looking for his statement.
Yes, I would like to know what 9 dots thinks about his award.
And who knows? Next year could be you. Show up how you are the super fan, and you'll be put in the ballot to be voted super fan of the LCS. Or, well, I guess we'll have to call it something else when they change the name.
All right.
Thank you all for joining us. Until next time, continue to be a fan.